Text from Matthew 17. Yes, we're burying the Alleluias today into that small coffin in the chancel. They rest before our eyes while removed from our lips. This our last hurrah before descending into Lent and the Lord's Passion. Look in our text at the glorious notes being sounded before we make the descent. They are conveniently marked in the Greek by three beholds. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud. All three are worthy of a hallelujah. Behold, the dead in Christ aren't gone. After him being dead and buried for over 1,500 years, we have Moses back on earth. After being taken alive into heaven about 800 years before, Elijah's back on earth too. Do not think this is only true of these two. Where Jesus is, the entire body of Christ is. That's all in Christ, whether alive or dead. This we celebrate every communion service. All the company of heaven is with us. Google 1984, Places of the Heart, Last Seen. But you have to know in that little movie clip that some of those communing have died during the movie. Take the Philippine Army. As of 2006, whenever they had a roll call, Douglas MacArthur's name was called last and someone responded present. Nice thought for a military unit. For the church militant, it's reality. Hallelujah. Behold, our text teaches us that although only Elijah, Enoch, and Christ and those in Matthew 27 aren't waiting for their bodies to rise on the last day, we can still picture our dead in bodily form. Revelation describes the company of heaven as those who have been beheaded for the sake of Christ. But what does a beheaded soul look like? Sleepy Hollow? No, picture them as you know them, not cumbered by a load of care, pain, or illness. Picture them not as ghostly apparitions or slick holographs. Moses and Elijah have tongues to speak and ears to hear, and so do our dead in Christ today. Our dead in Christ haven't become shades. Hallelujah. And this is the proof passage that we will know each other in heaven. The dead in Christ need no introduction. Along the lines of meeting the child of someone you know really well, you recognize them as belonging to the adult you know. But look where these two Old Testament saints are focused, not on each other, but on Jesus. All three Gospels use the word not for talking, but talking together, and all say with him. And Luke tells us what they're talking about Jesus' exodus, which he's about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Really? Moses' exodus involved killing his enemies and dancing on the seashore afterward. Jesus would be killed by his enemies and his disciples not dancing, but devastated. Jesus' exodus really won't be fulfilled till Easter and Ascension. Still, isn't this a kicker? We're going to spend the next six Wednesdays focused on what the saints in heaven do. What Jesus himself did, his exodus, which he accomplished for us and our salvation. Hallelujah. I'm taking the beholds in the order they come in the text, but they overlap. Behold, the dead in Christ aren't gone. Behold, heaven comes to earth in Jesus' person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is an English transliteration of the Greek word halleluia, which is a transliteration of two Hebrew words, halal yah, which is praise ye Yahweh. Hallelujah is only found four times in the New Testament, and all of them are in heaven in Revelation. Hallelujah is found 24 times in the Old Testament, but only in 15 different Psalms from 104 to 150. These are called the Hallelujah Psalms. We don't notice that because most of our translations translate praise the Lord. Moses and Elijah are the two Old Testament saints who met the Lord, Yahweh, on a mountain. Perhaps on the very same Mount Sinai, where Yahweh is, heaven is, hallelujah. The Lord testifies to this with, behold, a bright cloud. Mark and Luke also note the cloud, but only Matthew says it's bright. This is distinct from the cloud that descended on Moses. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain shook violently. The smoke from a furnace is gray or even black. The cloud that descended on Sinai and giving the Ten Commandments is very scary. Exodus 24:17 says, to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Both clouds indicate the presence of the Lord. But before the cloud arrives in our text, the man Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who has flesh just like ours, shines brighter, shines purer than sun, moon, or angels. Mark tells you at this point they were exceedingly afraid. Luke notes the exceeding fear as the cloud overshadowed them. Matthew notes the climax of their fearing, and you're going to be surprised when that takes place. Let's look more at the cloud. The cloud that's here is the same cloud that appeared in the Old Testament church as a fire at night and a pillar during the day. It led the Old Testament church and defended her in the Exodus. It dwelled over the Holy of Holies in the wilderness, and more specifically, over the mercy seat. This cloud will receive Moses and Elijah back into heaven, and at the ascension, this is the cloud that received the ascending Jesus. In 2 Chronicles 7, this glory of the Lord drove his priests out of the temple. Here in Jesus, it's bright, it's safe. Hallelujah. This is the Lord teaching us visually. The transfiguration of the man Jesus shows us the reality of Colossians 2:9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the rays of the sun. The gloves are off now. The masks are removed. The God incarnate, who didn't always use his divine powers as a man in order to take our place in life and death under the law, shows who he really is. And unlike when Zeus shows his lover his full glory, the apostles aren't burned up. That parallels what happened in another place in Exodus. After being sealed by animal blood, in which that blood stood for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins, after being sealed by animal blood, the Old Testament church leaders could enter into Yahweh's presence safely. Listen, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. Now that's worth a hallelujah. I've been right next to molten iron. I've seen it being poured. I've seen molten iron rain down like water. I know what iron is. I know what a liquid is. I was fascinated by what I knew to be a solid, now a liquid, in the crucible. Now the three apostles see the man Jesus, who they previously saw tired, hungry, sick, sleepy, cold, and crying. Now they see him as he really is, very God of very God. Then they are going to witness, when they come down off this mountain, of what we are going to witness in Wednesday Passion readings. This God in the flesh goes into the crucible, and that's going to be excruciating, i.e., out of the cross. For him, not us. Hallelujah. So far, so good. Behold, the dead in Christ are where he is, whether heaven or earth. Behold, heaven comes to earth and shows that the man Jesus is God the Son while talking about heavenly things with him. But look what scares them so badly. Behold, a voice out of the cloud. They fell to the ground, terrified. This is parallel to Exodus, when the people plead with the Lord not to speak to them directly, but through Moses, or they will die. How are we going to say hallelujah to this? It's not the voice itself that scares them. Although, go home and read Psalm 29. Hear what the voice of the Lord can do. It's powerful and majestic. It breaks cedars. It makes countries leap. It strikes like lightning. It shakes the desert and strips the forest bare. The voice here merely says, doesn't thunder, it doesn't shake, doesn't rattle, it just says, Jesus is my beloved son and you must listen to him. Can you see why these words might have undone, on man, peed the pants of the apostles? The last recorded words of Jesus before this was him foretelling his rejection and crucifixion, which Peter flatly, boldly denied. He sure didn't listen. And this knowledge terrifies them in the face of God, saying, you must listen to him. The voice of Jesus sounds in the divine service. But how many listen only when they feel like it? The voice sounds in Bible class. But that many say, not for me, thank you. The voice sounds in sermons too. But, well, that's just my opinion. Too bad for you. This is the same voice that speaks your baptizing, your absolving, your communing. Listen to Jesus. The bloody, sweaty cross is necessary. Jesus speaks about it with heaven itself. He set his face on the cross despite being offered a way out next Sunday. Despite the agony in Gethsemane, where he wants to redeem us from our sin, from the devil's power and the death that haunts us, but without his drinking God's cup of wrath. It's not enough that Jesus, by a holy life, did keep all the laws we break every day. There was hell to pay, and the cup of God's wrath would not be finished till that last bitter pain on the cross was swallowed. Hallelujah, he did it. And even though they had not listened, even as we don't, what are Jesus' next words in our text? After the Father gives the command to make it their constant policy, that's the form, to listen to Jesus, what are Jesus' next words? Arise, the Easter word. You must be risen by me. It's passive, and you can stop being afraid. If you arise from the grave of your sin and death, by anything other than the word of Jesus speaks on the basis of his life and death, you haven't really risen. If you stop being afraid of God's judgment on you for not hearing God's word, for hearing God's word carelessly or not at all, just because, well, you're over it, just because you're able to forget it, not think of it, you are in for one hell of a surprise. Self-absolution, you telling yourself, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. Will one day give way. No, you go by the words Jesus speaks on his authority for the sake of what he did for you. You can stop being afraid of God's judgment for that reason. You can, like the Old Testament church, come into the presence of God at this altar and eat and drink, not just with him, but him. Now, this is certainly worth a behold and a hallelujah. True, but from here to Easter, we bury them in that coffin till the resurrected Jesus brings them back with him. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.